All right. Can I have somebody help me with the communion and we'll partake of the Lord's Supper? We all need it. You want to know an interesting thing about communion? See, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of rituals that you had to go through. Have you ever been to these churches where you had one ritual right after another, right after another, right after another, that you just, every Sunday they'd wear you out going through all these different things? I have. You know something? There's only two rituals in the New Testament. Communion, baptism. Communion and baptism. That's how simple the gospel is. And Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So we can learn from this. If we do discern the body of Christ, then we can expect health and healing in our bodies. Amen? This is God's medicine that He gave to us for our well-being. And there's no ill side effects. So how are we going to discern this body of Christ by looking at this bread? Well, number one, we look at this and we see that this bread is made without yeast. Jesus' body was certainly without sin, and yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. So Jesus' body was without sin. We know that. This bread has also been pounded flat. Jesus was beaten for us. He took a terrible beating for us. And it is for our freedom. It is for our healing. Also, this bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes we were healed. Also, this bread has been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced when He was on the cross. That Roman soldier thrust a spear into His side, but He was pierced in His head when they put a crown of thorns on Him. He was pierced in His hands when they nailed Him to the cross. He was pierced in His feet when they nailed Him to the cross. Everywhere Jesus shed His blood was on purpose. It was never by accident. It was always on purpose, and it was for a definite reason, and we get some kind of redemption in that area. Find out where He shed His blood and find out what you get from that. Also, if you look, this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. He took it all. He took it all so that we could have it all. You ever thought about that? God treated Jesus the way we deserved to be treated so that He could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. His body was broken for us. We're taking this for our healing, our well-being. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. There's never, ever been anything more powerful than the blood of Jesus turned loose on this earth. This blood defeated death. It defeated sin. It defeated hell. This blood washed away our sins, completely remitted them, put them into a sea of forgetfulness. This blood made us new creatures in Christ. And it made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now you can stand in God's presence knowing that you're justified freely by His grace because of the blood of Jesus. And you can stand in His presence as if nothing ever happened. Because as far as He's concerned, nothing did. Now you're clean. Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us, shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. Now we know that we can open up your Bible and we can learn of Jesus and we can operate in your kingdom the way you desire us to. And we thank you for your word that teaches us and feeds us in Jesus' name. Amen. Once in a while, you need to stop and find these certain words that the devil tries to slander. You know, righteousness is one of those words that the devil has spent a lot of time slandering. You know, you hear people who aren't Christians, they don't know nothing about anything, call other people self-righteous hypocrites. Well, that's one of those words. Righteousness is an important word for people to understand. And the devil smeared this word horribly, and he did it on purpose. He wanted people to stay away from righteousness. And you understand what righteousness means? It means simply right standing with God. He doesn't want you to understand that you're in right standing with God. And when you understand that you are in right standing with God, he's toast. Now, glory is another one of those words that has been slandered by the devil. You hear people say, oh, he's just in it for the glory. He just wants all the glory for himself. Look at that guy. He's a glory seeker. And then you hear preachers say, God will not share his glory with no man. Did you know that that's not scripturally sound? That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. God will not share his praise with any man. He will not share his praise with any man, but he wants his glory to be seen on the church. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, go down to chapter 4, verse 6. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, here's the thing. Simply put, we're in these bodies. We're in these bodies. We're trapped in these bodies for a while. The real us is a spirit. Oh, we're in these earthen vessels. And as long as you're in this earthen vessel, you're attached to the earth. You're attached to the flesh. You're going to have a tendency to get in the flesh sometimes. You don't believe me? Smash your finger. But here's the thing. Don't judge yourself for cussing too hard and embarrassing the angels. Try not to do that. But here's what's going to happen eventually. There's going to be some guy that's around you a lot that's not a Christian. And he's going to be watching you, and he's going to wonder how in the world it is that you don't walk perfectly, you don't do everything right, you make mistakes, but somehow you always seem to come out the other side in pretty good shape. Somehow, you always seem to have plenty of jobs. You always seem to have plenty of everything you need. Somehow, everything seems to work out for you, even though you don't do everything right. I promise you, there are people looking at you saying that. Oh, but I do everything right. Oh, give me a break. Just don't even go there. Amen. We're blessed because Jesus got on the cross. Amen. You know, Abraham didn't do everything right. Did you know that? He didn't do everything right, but he was blessed. He was blessed beyond measure. But why? How was it he got to be so blessed? He believed God. He believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness, which is right standing. So these verses that we just read refers to the power of the Holy Ghost through the light of the gospel in our bodies. We are weak, but he is strong. There's a lot of pressure on people in the Word of Faith circles to be strong in faith. So then people get to focusing on their own faith. You know, it's people's own preoccupation with their own faith that causes them to stumble. When you focus on the grace of God, he'll see you in that faith, and faith will rise in your heart. Amen. Things will go a lot smoother for you. You'll be a lot bolder in the kingdom. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who is subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. That's talking about you. He glorified you. Did you know that? God did that. God glorified you. Glory is to be manifested in the children of God. The whole earth is to be filled with God's glory. God wants his glory seen on you for a particular reason. Somebody else that's not born again, standing there wondering how they're going to get through this life, keeps seeing you, and they see you as a peculiar thing. Not weird, but peculiar. You're different. Why are things different about you? Why are you smiling when you should be crying? Because the glory of God is on you. Pretty soon they're going to ask what's going on. One guy said, I watched you every day. And nobody can be that happy unless they're on heroin. He got born again. He found out why. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's the Father's glory. It's His glory. He can give it to who He wants to. Amen? You know you ain't going to earn it. And you can't deserve it. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 2. He said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. That's describing God as the God of glory. Our Father is the God of glory. And he had already told us in Romans how he gave that glory unto us. So now, we got the thing kind of squared away. We understand now, biblically, that God wants His glory to be seen on us. He shared His glory with us. He wants the whole earth filled with His glory. He does not want to share His praise. Yeah? See, this is something you always got to deal with. You know, you pray for somebody and they get healed or they get born again or something happens. They come up there and they say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just say, praise God. Praise God. He did it. He did the works. You did the praying. Jesus did the healing. The Holy Spirit did the same. Just explain to them. Said, just go ahead and say thank you to God. Tell Him how grateful you are. Well, thank you. And I said, well, praise God. Give Him the praise. Amen. That's the easiest way to deal with that. He's the God of glory. Now look at Psalm chapter 29, verse 3. Psalm chapter 29, verse 3 says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also to skip like a cat. Lebanon and Syrian like a unicorn. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds the calf and discovers the forest. And in His temple does everyone speak of His glory. The Lord sits upon the flood. Yeah, the Lord sits king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The voice of the Lord. Did you know that in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. That's power of attorney. You know what that means? That means when you're speaking in the name of Jesus, it's just the same as if Jesus himself is speaking. How can I say that? Because you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. The minute you get born again, you got baptized into the body of Christ. Now you're part of him. You're part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ, not the bride of Christ. You are the body of Christ. I mean, you have this great authority on this earth because of the name of Jesus and because of this place that he has put you in at the right hand of God. You're seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers of might. You have this authority. And that's when that glory starts being seen on you. When you start taking your place in the kingdom of God, in the family, as a son of God. And go out into all the world. You start doing stuff in the kingdom like he showed you in the Bible. Amen? It's really kind of an exciting thing. But it's important to not put yourself in a position where you receive praise. But put yourself in a position where the glory of God can be seen on you. There he said, let your light so shine before men. See, this is where you got to make the decision now. Am I a full-time Christian or am I an undercover Christian? Is it okay for everybody to know that I'm a Christian? Or is it just okay for me to be seen as a Christian in church? So if it's okay for you to be seen as a Christian in all the world, you'll slap hands on somebody in the parking lot or in the grocery store or wherever you may be and pray for them. Amen? You'll witness to them everywhere they are. No matter what they're doing, you witness to them. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 27. Says glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In his presence, man was crowned with glory and honor. When Adam sinned, he lost that glory. You know, Adam was covered basically with a glory bubble. I mean, I seen a picture of it. I don't know. You know, I just seen a picture of it. It showed like a glory bubble around Adam and Eve. And they just walked around. Evidently, God would come visit them and they'd walk through the garden in the cool of the morning. That's the way I understand it. Adam was wrapped in this glory bubble in such a way that he didn't even have to have clothes. He was clothed with the glory of God. And then he sinned. And the first thing he did was make clothes for himself to cover himself up. Have you ever noticed the curious thing about animals and people, of all the everything running around on this earth? We're the only ones that have to make clothes for ourselves. Every other living thing on this earth grows its own clothes. Why do you suppose that is? Because we're not in our natural habitat. Adam sinned and he lost that glory. He got kicked out of the garden. He got kicked out of the presence of God. Amen. So God had to find a new way to get into our presence. See, he had to build a bridge. See, before that time, there's all these other religions that came about. They were trying to get into the presence of God. You know, the Eastern religions, the Hindus, the Buddhists, all these people trying to get into this presence of God. But the only thing that would work was God getting into our presence. He built a bridge from heaven to earth, and it took three nails and two boards and one lamb to get back into our presence. He wanted to be in our presence more than we wanted to be in his. Yeah? He invaded our world with his word. Remember in the Bible, it tells us in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld him and called him Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He invaded our world with his Word. And here's a curious thing about the Word of God. If you haven't noticed, it's offensive to the flesh. It's offensive to the flesh. If the Word hasn't burned your flesh, you haven't read the Word. Amen. You know, we got a lot of people that read the Word and it burns their flesh in such a way that they try to change the Word of God, adjust it to fit their own fleshly desires. That's how we come up with gay pastors. They changed the Bible. They decided it was okay. They just twisted it in such a way that they could do what they thought was right. But if they truly accepted the Word of God, they'd say, okay, no, that's not right. This is the way it is. It's not Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve. So it's a man and woman becoming one flesh. And that's the only way it can be. Go to Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Yeah, if you've ever read any of those tracts that these people hand out, I know you've ran across these verses. You know, people are always handing these tracts out, how to receive Jesus. You know, they'll show up in places, hand you these tracts out, or they'll have them in stores or wherever you may run into them. Well, Romans chapter 3, verse 21, says, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So right there it tells us that we fell short. Every one of us fell short of the glory of God. But then right there in verse 24, tells us that we've been justified freely by his grace. There's nothing you can do to be good enough in your own efforts to be good enough in the sight of God. Here's the good thing about Jesus. This is really cool about the sacrifices. See, in the Old Testament, these guys would take a sacrifice to the high priest, and the high priest would sacrifice this offering and put it on the altar and go up. But they'd examine this sacrifice, and it had to be just perfect. Everything about it had to be just right. And so they'd get their sacrifice on the altar and smoke would go up, but God would look at the sacrifice, not at the person. Jesus, our sacrifice, God on the cross. Don't go through life thinking he's focused in on you. He's looking at that perfect sacrifice of Jesus, and he accepts you because of what Jesus did. Amen? And Jesus, being our high priest, takes your prayers and presents them to the Father perfectly. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. Why? Unto our glory. The plan to return man to glory in his presence. Adam sinned and got kicked out of the garden. Not because God was mad at him, but the tree of life was in there. And God couldn't let Adam eat of that tree of life and live forever in that sin-filled state. He had to get him out of that garden so that man could have a chance at redemption. Amen? And it happened. Satan did not know this, or he would not have killed Jesus. You know, if Satan would have known what was going to happen, he wouldn't have ever put Jesus on that cross. But God scared the way out of him in the garden. He told Satan, there's coming one that is going to bruise your head. And from that day forward, every time Satan seen somebody that resembled the glorious Adam, he'd kill him. So he'd find a prophet somewhere along the way that God anointed, and he'd try to kill him. Anybody that looked like that Adam, try to kill him because he knew there was coming one that was going to bruise his head. Then Jesus came, and Satan got him on the cross, and he thought, all of my troubles are over. Here's a funny thing about the way all this went down. When the Holy Spirit fell on those in the upper room and they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, in the spirit world, they looked just like Adam. That glory on them. That Satan can't tell the difference between you and Jesus. You're covered in the blood. Peter stepped out of that upper room, and Satan was sitting there saying, there's another one. I thought I got rid of that. And Peter preached his first sermon and got 3,000 people born again. Satan said, there's 3,000 more. What do we do? He had to get the spirit of division going. And he got the spirit of division going, and now today we got, I don't know, 7,500 different denominations? I don't know. Then it's so carried away to the point now, all you need to do to start another church is just a resentment in the coffee pot. That's silly. That's really what's going on. Somebody gets mad. They don't like the way, they don't like the praise and worship here. They don't like, oh, the preacher, he needs to do this, or the preacher needs to do that. We don't like the carpet. I'm serious. Some fights that happen in churches are completely asinine. One time the church was having a fight, and one of them called me and said, we don't know what to do. This thing is getting out of hand. And I talked to him a little bit. I said, well, what's going on? I said, well, they put a Christmas tree on the stage, and there was a cross back there, and it covered the cross or something. I said, knock it off. Move the Christmas tree over. Do something. Just knock it off. So I took a sacrificial Bible with me to the church. That's the NIV. Got in there and I started ripping pages out of the Bible and throwing it at them. Said, you don't believe this, you can't agree with this. Forget about the promise on the other side of that page, because you ripped that page out of your Bible. I said, by the time we get done ripping things out of the Bible you guys can't agree on, all you're going to have is a book of maps, and you're going to be fighting whether that cover is made out of genuine leather or not. Knock it off. What's going on? You're letting the spirit of division reign. And the glory of God is not going to be able to shine when you're bickering back and forth. Amen? Now you see why the devil, he does this kind of stuff on purpose. He does it to man and wife all the time. You squeeze the toothpaste in the middle. And I promise it'd save a lot of strife if you women would just learn to take your thumb over and let the toilet seat down instead of falling in and screaming at us. But see, he gets these little bitty things, these little things that really doesn't amount to nothing. It's just a little thing. And gets man and wife bickering back and forth. Why? Because he knows that if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. He knows that if you come into agreement, like they did in that upper room. See, the Bible says all them people in the upper room were of one accord. It means they were in agreement. They had the same focus. They had the same ideas. And amazing things were happening. They had to get the spirit of division in there to break that up. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that your glory is seen on us. We thank you that your mysteries have been made known to us. That the knowledge of your glory is known to us. That we can expect to have the glory seen on our congregations, seen on our people, seen on the church, that the glory of God, that the light of God will shine in such a way that people will be drawn to that like a bug to a purple bug zapper. So just have to come to the light. And then they'll get born again. And God will get the praise. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we got some snacks, coffee, and fellowship back here. Everybody's welcome to come on back. Have some.